There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
You always know that Chris McCarty's here because TV goes up on and there's some obscure football match on. Yeah. However, this one, less obscure because Hoffenheim-Dortmund
are not live. It's not live, Tim. It's old. Oh, yeah, it's an old match.
Why are you watching?
I can't find any live sport ongoing. I was looking for Emirates FA Cup action. Newport are taking on Leeds United as things stand, but I can't find it anywhere. So I'm just going to give you a score update. It's Leeds 1. Leeds are 1-0 up on that one.
Darn, you missed that one there. Yeah. Right? Yeah. Oh, yeah, you're gutted, aren't you?
Gutted.
Like, oh, I'm missing it.
Newport's his 7th favourite team, you think?
Yeah, 8th, I think. Yeah, you're not far off there, Nats. But yeah, Leeds leading that one 1-0. Obscure start to my little sports hit. But yes, Leeds United 1-0 up over Newport County. It is third round weekend of the Emirates FA Cup a little later today. We do have some decent matches. Spurs in action, Arsenal in action as well at Nottingham Forest.
Bit of misdirection, which is a good thing. Do you know, I was saw my dad over the New Year period and we were talking. My dad's a big football fan. He used to take me to West Ham years ago. He's kind of an Arsenal fan, really, but he's not tribal about it. West Ham was easier to get to, you see. So I was telling him, oh, you know, the football story that's coming down. He says, oh, what's that, son? I said, it's Östersund. Chris McCarty tells me this on good authority, that the story in football of the last few years is Östersund. He went, oh, I'll be reading up about that.
He's been reading up, said he will?
No, he said he will be reading up about that, but he's not really au fait with the Scandinavian football scene these days. But I think he's keen.
Well, if he's an Arsenal fan, then he should get up to speed with Östersund, because, of course, they take part in it. Well, they're playing each other in the last 32, February the 15th. Booked my flights last week, so I will be off for a week. I mean, the missus are off to Östersund.
Oh! Oh, lucky old Mrs. McCarty.
Yes, indeed.
Ah, dear. What she had to say about that?
I think she's quite happy. It means we get to catch up with my good friend who's up there. I'll take her to Stockholm. We'll have a couple of days in Stockholm and then we'll make our way up. Apparently, all hotel rooms in Östersund, it's a city, a town of about 65,000 people, every single hotel room is sold. Mm. So we're having to kip down on my mate's sofa for a couple of nights.
Why does that not surprise you? If you need any advice on where to go in Stockholm, then I'm your man. I can help you.
I may well require that.
How I got back from there, I have no idea. Let's talk about football now, though, because if you are after a selfie with some footballing superstars, there are a few in town.
There's an awful lot in town, yes. Liverpool are here. I'm not at liberty to tell you where they're staying. What I can tell you is, though, that I am reliably informed that all of the boys had a very, very good night out around the Dubai Marina area last night. Manchester United arrive tomorrow morning. They will be training Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday before flying back to the UK on Friday. Celtic are here. Aberdeen arrive later in the week. They're going to be playing a friendly with an Uzbeki team. That is behind closed doors. Although I've got a funny feeling they may well open those doors to the handful of Aberdeen fans that are in Dubai. So big teams aplenty. I'm sure there will be more. There's often Ukrainian teams, Russian teams, German teams as well, with the winter break. But in terms of your British teams, the team, certainly Manchester United, Celtic and Liverpool, that move the needle, if you will. An awful lot of social media activity about those three teams being here in Dubai. So keep your eyes peeled. Make sure your phones are handy, because you may well be bumping into a few of the stars of those respective clubs.
And you have a very good chance of doing so. I took my son to see Celtic last year, and they were very accommodating at the practice session.
And that's great. And you've talked at length, Tim, about that. Hopefully Celtic are like that again this year. Mm. You know, you were getting up close. Scott Brown, I know, gave an awful lot of his time. Brendan Rodgers and Celtic made an awful lot of friends in doing so 12 months ago. And I expect them to be similar this year. There's not much to complain about if you're a Celtic fan. Okay, they'll have to get down to some important work. They're in the Europa League, but they're top of the Scottish Premiership. They've already won the League Cup and they're still in the Scottish Cup as well. So it's a good time to be a Celtic fan. Not so if you're Rangers.
I guess you're mentioning Liverpool being here. Big news coming out of Anfield as well, of course. A transfer that's been talked and talked and talked about. No surprise, but still record-breaking.
It's huge. It is a monstrous deal. £142.5 million has seen Philip Coutinho swap Liverpool for FC Barcelona. 5.5-year deal. The deal was done in the past 24 hours or so. It was no real secret, I don't think, that Philip Coutinho had his heart set on a move to Barcelona. I guess the only issue with it, some surprise in the timing of it all, he will be ineligible for Barcelona in the UEFA Champions League.
Yeah.
You know, Liverpool are giving up a player that can make things happen out of nothing. And I guess now the big question will be how they go about replacing Philip Coutinho. A lot of speculation, Riyad Mahrez, the Leicester Algerian winger. Some speculation as well, Thomas Lamar, who would be ineligible. Of course, he's already played Champions League action for AS Monaco this season. So an awful lot to be worked through in terms of what Liverpool do to replace Philippe Coutinho. No doubt in my mind, though, he is a fantastic acquisition for FC Barcelona, and I only see him getting better once he links up with Messi. He's re-linking up with Luis Suarez. Ousmane Dembele is now fit. Andreas Iniesta's still got a couple of years left in the tank, and I can only see Philippe Coutinho getting better for that move to FC Barcelona.
I'm just putting that into dirhams. It's £142.5 million.
Yeah.
So that's close to 750 million dirhams.
I'm shaking my head, Tim.
That's like, how many towers in the marina could you build for that?
An awful lot. Yes.
Yeah.
It's the way football's going. I mean, I think we're bored to death, I'm sure, that the listeners on these transfer fees. And to put it into some context, the fact that Liverpool spent 75 million on a player that I know you know well, Tim, in the shape of Virgil van Dijk, a former Celtic defender, put it into context. So essentially Coutinho is roughly double that, and I think that's probably on par with where we're at. I think Coutinho, 26 years of age, you can make an argument to say his best years are still ahead of him, and I'm one of those that thinks that he will only get better in Barcelona's environment. He's very, very technically, he's as good as there is, and with Messi, with Suarez, I could see him lighting up La Liga. One thing I think we definitely know with the capture of Philippe Coutinho is that Barcelona will win La Liga, and then they can now wrap Andreas Iniesta and cotton wool for the UEFA Champions League because they've got a ready-made replacement in the shape of Philippe Coutinho.
That's a good point. So how do you fill that hole if you're at a club where Mr. Coutinho has left?
It's a good question. Thomas Lemar, I'm a big fan of, just recently turned 22 at AS Monaco, French international. There's been a lot of speculation saying that he is Liverpool's number one target. I know there's been speculation in the last 24 hours that Riyad Mahrez as well, the Algerian, playing his football, of course, at Leicester City, is someone that interests Liverpool. Either one of those two, I think, would be a great signing. Mahrez is obviously proven in the Premier League. I like Lemar. In terms of like for like, I think Thomas Lemar is an individual that if Liverpool were to capture him, he helps them in their ultimate quest, which is to win the Premier League. And with Van Dijk, Naby Keita coming in, keep Firmino, keep Mane happy, keep Salah fit, Liverpool building a team, a very good team, and it pains me to say that.
True. Also, news at Stoke. They've sacked their boss.
I feel sorry for Mark. Stoke have been regular visitors to this part of the world. I've had a couple of coffees with Mark Hughes. I'm a big fan of him. Not only is because he's a Manchester United legend, of course, but he's a nice man as well. He's fallen on the sword. What is it, one win or two wins in their last 10 in the Premier League? They're into the bottom three, defeated as well by Coventry City at the weekend in that Emirates FA Cup third round clash. And the writing's been on the wall for Mark for the past 3 or 4 weeks. Interestingly enough, Martin O'Neill, former Celtic boss, there's a running theme in today's little hit, but he is the favourite for the job. He's currently in charge of the Republic of Ireland national team and favourite by an awful lot of people, so keep an eye on that one. Stoke have said that they want a new manager in place before their clash with Manchester United, which is a week tomorrow evening. So Martin O'Neill, Michael O'Neill as well, the Northern Ireland boss, he's been mentioned with it. Gary Monk, he's out of a job. Gary Rowett's been linked. But I watched the space. Martin O'Neill could be back in the Premier League. Such a big fan of Martin O'Neill. I think he'd be a great appointment if Stoke were to go down that line.
Okay. Mick texts in, you can only build one tower in the marina for 750 million dirhams, isn't that true? I suppose you get a pretty big tower for that, wouldn't you? Pretty good one. Helicopter pad, the whole lot. Probably.
Easily. Yeah,
on another note, though, someone's offering you a bit of help here, Chris.
They know
Eric Cameron's daughter, former Swedish manager. They're saying she might be able to hook you up with a room. Oof.
All over that. All over that.
She might know a few people.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
I'll be texting back. I'll be taking your number. And if you can find me a room up in Ostersunds, then I've been reliably informed that that's not the case, that you can't find me a room. But if you've got people in high places who can sort me out, then I'm all ears.
Well, I've got to be honest, though. I need a man on the ground because Terence Elliott, my dad, he needs the scoop on what's going on in the Scandinavian football scene. Denmark playing Sweden in Abu Dhabi on Thursday.
Yes, they are. Sweden playing Estonia, I believe, today, right, which I also think is in Abu Dhabi. Hopefully, fingers crossed, and again, there's an Östersund link here. We're going to be sat down with a couple of Östersund's players this week who are with the Swedish national team just for a little scoop on how Sweden's preparations are going for the FIFA World Cup. Of course, one of my New Year's resolutions is to be more organised, and me and Robbie already starting to garner some content for our World Cup special. So we'll be in conversation with a couple of Swedish international players hopefully later this week, and we'll also be trying our very best to track down Liverpool players and Manchester United.
So that means Ericsson's here, isn't it? My son's just got an Ericsson shirt.
I need to check. I think in the case of Sweden and Denmark, I think they've brought B teams out. So I know in the case of Sweden, they've brought very much an Allsvenskan-based team. Now, Allsvenskan's the top flight over in Swedish football. They've brought out a squad very much made of players from Allsvenskan. Of course, it's in their winter break right now. They've left their international stars with their club teams because it's not an international window.
All right, then. I was going to say ask you one more thing. What was it? Cricket. Oh, pretty hot day in Sydney today. 47 degrees.
47.3 degrees, I've been reliably informed, which was the hottest place anywhere on the planet at that time a little earlier today. And it's, the sweltering conditions have done little in the way of harm Australia because they are fully in control of this fifth and final test. They will resume day five, 210 runs ahead. England at the crease, 93 for 4, Alistair Cook gone for 10, Mark Stoneman gone for a duck. It will be Joe Root not out on 42 and Johnny Bairstow not out on 17. Essentially what I'd say is they've got to essentially bat through the day tomorrow to stop Australia from winning the final test and sealing what would be a not a whitewash but a 4-0 win is, well, it's impressive to say the least, and England soul-searching. I'm sure we'll go long into 2018. They've got India next summer or this coming summer, and they'll be hoping for a reversal of fortunes because it's been nothing short of embarrassing.
You are quite right. What was Robbie's prediction before the Ashes? Can you remember?
He said 3-1.
Did he really?
He said 3-1 to Australia. We had David Loftus, who's a proud Aussie. He's our fan. He did rightly predict 4-0.
All right, then. That's the sport for the moment. Coming up 10 to 6. You know what I've missed over the last 2 weeks?
The lost word.
Yeah.
It's been good as well. Yeah. It's been good
in
your absence.
It's actually been very good.
Been better.
It's been better in your absence, Tim.
Has it really?
High standards.
Oh, good to know.
The lost word.
Man tried to eat in Michelin star restaurant.
Oh, okay. I'm going snail porridge.
Snail porridge.
Yep. That's what I'm going for today. I'm going all Heston Blumenthal and sciency on your.
The first thing that honestly popped into my mind, and it's strange, don't ask me, was crocodile feet.
That was the first thing that came into your head. Oh, Chris McCarthy.
I don't know where to go with that. Wasn't that a Jimmy Nail song? Was it Shoes?
Shoes.
It was one of the two.
Crocodile Shoes.
Okay, so Crocodile Feet. If you can beat that. In fact, no.
No.
Chris McCarthy, I declare you the winner of today's last word for Crocodile Feet.
Thank you.
I want to know what Zena thinks of this one. Okay. Do you know what this is, Zena?
I'm not copying you, Chris, but the first thing that popped in my mind was chicken feet.
Okay.
It's the Asian in me.
All right, so Zena's going for chicken. Chicken feet. There is a feet theme in Crocodile Feet with Chris McCarthy and snail porridge. We'll reveal all on The Lost Word next. Chris, thank you.
Thank you.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.